The picturesque. It was late in the 1700s that Reverend William Gilpin used the term picturesque to describe a kind of painting. Previously, the word had meant like a picture. But in Gilpin's usage, it had a prescribed and particular meaning. For Gilpin, the picturesque fell somewhere between beautiful and sublime, and both texture and composition were important in a correctly picturesque scene. According to his prescription, the texture of the scene should be rough, intricate, varied, or broken, and without obvious straight lines. The composition could work as a unified whole, incorporating several elements. A dark foreground with untamed growth or rocks, or a front screen, or side screens of trees or bushes or other foliage elements. A brighter middle distance, usually consisting of some kind of body of water, but not always. And at least one further, less distinctly depicted distance. A ruin of some kind would add interest, but it was not necessary. A low viewpoint, which tended to emphasize the sublime, was always preferable to a perspective from a high vantage point, although this rule was open to interpretation. The rules generally meant 1. The foreground should be rocky and unkempt, and if not, then at least darkened. 2. The sides should have trees framing, possibly a screen of trees creeping into the foreground. 3. The midground should be bright with water if possible. Maybe some ruins, or possibly some calm animals or people, never working hard, mostly in leisure, if working, then working picturesquely. 4. The background should contain aerial perspective of hills or mountains. 5. All should be unkempt and untouched looking. The wild and foreboding wilderness, or the quaint, forgotten past. Never manicured, never contrived. Which sounds like a strict set of rules that would have fallen out of fashion, right? Yet all these landscape photos follow many of the rules of the picturesque. While it's true that not every landscape photo or painting in existence follows a picturesque composition, many of the landscapes that, even in the 21st century, are considered the most beautiful, follow Reverend Gilpin's suggestions. This is a passage from a book printed in Britain in 1827 by a woman named Jane Webb Lubbin. She was a friend of John Mad Martin, who we'll get to later, and it's set in the far-flung future, 2126, where women of the royal court wear trousers and things are run by steam. Yep, this is sort of a steampunk book, although not so much about the steam as it is about galvanized mummies. It's called The Mummy, a Tale of the 22nd Century, which isn't the sort of book you'd expect to have much in common with the picturesque tradition, and yet the windows of the library opened to the ground and looked out upon a fine terrace shaded by a veranda supported by trellis work, round which twined roses mingled with vines. Below stretched a smiling valley, beautifully wooded and watered by a majestic river winding slowly along, now lost amongst the spreading foliage of the trees that hung over its banks and the shining forth again in the light as a lake of liquid silver. Beyond rose hills majestically towering in the skies, their clear outline now distinctly marked by the setting sun as it sank slowly behind them, shedding its glowing tints of purple and gold upon their heathy sides, while some of its brilliant rays even penetrated through the leafy shade of the veranda and danced like summer lightning. Sound like something you've seen recently? Maybe the photos, the description in the old steampunk book, and some old paintings don't convince you that the picturesque is still a well-loved and culturally relevant compositional device. Perhaps you feel that these examples have been handpicked. They were. But consider, if you will, what a child draws when given the opportunity. Children will draw what they experience and what they are familiar with, so the compositions they will create by default are heavily influenced by the culture and environment they grew up in.